me more details and we'll remember it then.
So when did you start? When was the first time you sang in front of a crowd other than your family?
As a very young boy soprano, I did concerts. I did variety concerts in Newbridge and on the Curra, in the Sands Picture House on the Curra and the Palace in Newbridge, singing Kevin Barry and the Meeting of the Waters. And they were my first. Right. And then I got into the choirs. And then in Newbridge, I went to the college in Newbridge and I did some Gilbert and Sullivan. And all that kind of is where it started for me.
Okay. And then where did the folk thing, where did that happen for you?
Here in the Clancy's. A guy called Turlough McGowan from down the Moorfield Road came back from England with two Clancy Brothers albums, and I'd never heard anything like this before. Prior to that, I was listening to rock and roll, early Elvis and Bill Haley and all that, you know.
And you were from a big enough family, and your dad died young, so, and you were the eldest, so you were sort of, you became the dad of the family, I suppose.
Well, you know, I think the truth would be that my mother became the mummy and the daddy. I was 11.
Right.
And
too much pressure.
It was said to me at the time, you're the man of the house now, but I didn't believe it.
Yeah. I suppose it's legendary, the fact that you left the bank. Is that the truth?
Absolutely.
You left the bank to sing songs.
I left the National Bank, which was then, we had different banks in Ireland. I left the National Bank in Ballyhaunis in 1966 and went on the road.
Never looked back?
Never looked back, no.
I remember talking to a man called Andy Rin. He's a doctor from Clane.
The vasectomy doctor.
That's it, the vasectomy doctor. He's been in the news a lot over the years. Yeah. But he talks about, what's the name of the pub in Prosperous?
Dowling's.
Dowling's in Prosperous. And he claims that the whole folk scene in Ireland and traditional music, a resurgence of it, started there. Was it the 60s or the 70s?
The 60s.
Yeah. Well, what sort of people were hanging out there?
There was a leg of it started there, definitely.
Right.
We started going there from Newbridge, I suppose about the early 60s. A guy called Mick Corney was a plumber in Newbridge, and he had a Bedford van, and every Wednesday night we would load up and we'd all head down to Prosperous. And that's where I met up with the Rins. And there was a great group of musicians there. There was Ned Farrell, and there was... there was a kind of a core group of musicians in Prosperous, but other people would come and visit. Ted Fury used to come down, Seamus Ennis would come down, Barney McKenna came down to this session on Wednesday night.
From Dublin?
From Dublin.
Yeah.
And of course Liam O'Flynn was one of the core
Piper.
As well.
Yeah.
Liam was from Kill, and Donald and I were from Newbridge.
Right.
So there was definitely something that started. And the Grehan sisters from Boyle in County Roscommon, they used to come down.
And what did they do? What did they sing or play instruments?
They sang, the three of them sang, and Francie played banjo, mandolin, and Bernie played the spoons.
Right.
And they made a wonderful sound.
And it was just a session.
There
was no admission charge at the door, right?
Oh, no.
And were you paid in any shape or form?
No, well, there would be bottles of stout.
Right. You know?
And sandwiches afterwards.
Sandwiches, yeah. I heard the sandwiches were legendary.
There was always an afters for the musicians.
Yeah. And then that's where Planxty was born as well. He says, and you can confirm this, that 40 musicians went down into the basement of his house, Andrew Rin's house, well, his parents' house in Prosperous, and came up as Planxty.
Well, I came back from England to record an album with Andy Irvine, Don Lunny and Liam O'Flynn. And at that time, Davok Rin, who's still married to my sister, they lived in Downing's house. And in the basement, we recorded the Prosperous album.
Right.
And that's really where Planxty began.
Yeah. Listen to some of your songs and read. Right, so that's a bit of chat. We need to get a tune out of you now. So what are you going to start with? What are you going to sing for us first?
Well, would I sing the song that I sang for the Dalai Lama yesterday?
Yeah, well, that's fitting. That's fitting, yeah. What's it called?
It's called How Long, and it's a song I learned from Jackson Browne.
Right. Is it his song?
It's his song.
Right.
But straight away when I got the invitation to sing for the Dalai Lama, this is the song that came to mind. When you look into a child's face, you are seeing all the human race, the endless possibilities there, where so much can come true, and you think of the beautiful things. How long?
That's lovely. You know what you said there before that? You said you learnt it from Jackson Browne.
Yeah.
That still works, does it?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it used to be done years ago. But I thought people just went into a music shop now and bought the lyrics and the music or downloaded it from the internet.
Well, no, I played with Jackson Browne many years ago down in a festival in Mill Street. And afterwards we sat for a while and he sang that song and he sang it again and again and I wrote the chords down.
Right.
And
he features in one of your songs, doesn't he?
He does. He features in Listen to Varney.
Yeah. The size of his plane. Is it?
Well, yeah.
That's not true.
Poetic That's not license, true. Right. He came in a van like the rest of us.
Yeah. We're talking to Christy Moore. If you want to say anything or ask Christy anything, 53102 for your text, or you can send us an email to ray@todayfm.com. Quick commercial break.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on Today FM.
I'll stick with a one-trick pony.
Is there anybody you'd like to chat to that you've never got a chance to chat to?
Oh, dear me.
You know,
this is a really corny answer.
Right.
My father.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... That's
the one thing that comes to mind. I'd love to have a chat with my father.
Yeah.
As I'm sure with my brothers and sisters, you know.
Yeah. What sort of man was he?
As I remember him, he was just a nice man. He had Brill Cream, and I remember him combing his hair with Brill Cream, and I remember him whistling a lot and singing, and I remember him being a gentle and kind man.
Oh, he didn't sing publicly, did he?
No. He sang. He sang when he was driving the car.
Right.
And he sang around the house.
Okay. Just listen to Christy. Brings back memories of driving to Sneem with him and his family on FA Cup final day on May 21st, 1983 as a nine-year-old boy. Always remember the amount of people waving at him all over the place. Great memories. Thanks, Christy, says John. And hi to Christy, great ambassador for Kildare. Could you ask Christy if he remembers the graveyard mass in Milltown when he stood up in the gallery in the small church with his guitar and sang so elegantly The Voyage? It still lingers with me. That's Naveen Dunny. What relation would she be now to...
Well, there's Dunny. There are a good few Dunnies around Milltown.
I didn't know it was a Newbridge name. Newbridge Milltown name.
There are Dunnies around Milltown and Newbridge.
You don't remember that, do you?
You have me on the spot, Naveen.
Say hello to the friends of mine who are big fans of his, Leslie and John Clappison in Roscommon, who were tuned into your program. So, Leslie and John, they just want you to say hello.
Hi, Leslie and John.
Hi, Leslie and John. The Kildare accent, how do you define it to people? It's sort of flat enough, isn't it?
What accent are you talking about now? Yeah. my kids used to always know when I was on the phone to somebody from home.
Right.
They say, oh, Dad's on the phone to somebody from Newbridge. Because seemingly my accent would change it, you know.
Yeah, we had a teacher and he used to go, he'd say, like, if you're in the Red Hills, you talk real fast and flat like that. But if you're from Nurney, you slow down completely, like Dermot Yaws from Nurney,
It's all flat like that.
It's all flat like that, yeah. So, three children. What ages are they now?
They're chattels now.
They're chattels, yes.
They're in their 30s now.
Yeah. I read somewhere in your book there that Jim Aiken said it was always going to be difficult to be, you know, son or daughter to a famous man like yourself.
Well, you know...
Did he say that to you? Jim did say that.
Yeah, I remember I was sitting out in the garden with him one day, many years ago, and Andy came home from school. And I suppose he said it'll be hard for your kids. I don't know whether it is or not, you know. If it is, they haven't... I know sometimes they get pissed off, all right, you know.
In what way?
Well, I can recall once we were out for a meal, myself and Val and the three kids, and this woman came over, and I was sitting around with the family, and this woman came over looking for an autograph, and Juno, to her eternal credit, said, for Jesus' sake, would you ever leave the man alone? Can't you see he's having his dinner?
That was your daughter?
Yeah. And I just loved that. I loved that moment. I cherish the memory of that moment.
Because two things happened there. You got rid of that person, one, and you saw your daughter in a different light, I suppose, did you?
No, I always saw her as a woman who was well able to stand up for herself.
Yeah, yeah. Do you reckon they're proud of you? Did they say that to you?
Well, no, look, we don't talk about things like
that. Do you
that.
Not? No.
Yeah, no.
At
no.
all?
Not at all, no. No, at home, things are fairly normal, you
right.
know. I certainly don't get... life, once I go in the hall door, is very different than to life right. out.
I could segue into ordinary man there. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? You're just an ordinary man when you go in through those doors. But we'll get to that in a moment. So, There was, you were fond of the jar, weren't you, as they say around Kildare?
I couldn't get enough of it, Ray.
And was it Guinness and Guinness and Guinness, or was there...
Anything that was going, you right. know. I loved large bottles.
Right.
And I was partial to a drop of gin. But then I became an expert in wine, you know.
All right.
And that kind of a journey, you know.
Did you think that you weren't drinking really because it was wine you were drinking?
I always felt if you drank enough of it, you were really drinking.
Right, yeah. So when's the last time you had a drink?
It's 24 years ago, last month, yeah.
Mad, isn't it?
It is mad, yeah, but it's also wonderful, I have to say. I value my sobriety greatly, and I'm very grateful for it, and I love the sober life. But sure, I did what I did, and I did what millions of people have done and do, and it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm just very, very privileged to...
I suppose it's a big deal in that you were very publicly, you know, a drinker and alcoholic, and then, you know, I suppose people look to you and say, well, if Christy Moore can... That sort of thing, if Christy Moore can do it, I can do it.
Yeah. Well, I know when I went to the Late Late Show one night with odd shoes.
Not on purpose, obviously.
No, I didn't realise it till afterwards.
Yeah.
But, it was... It's what we did, you know,
yeah.
It's what we did. And we had great crack and we had great times, and most of it I don't regret. I regret what it became, but I had wonderful...
And did the depression come from the drink or the other way around? Because I'm going to name drop here, Christy. I was speaking to Adam Clayton this day last week.
Okay.
And he was saying that his depression came from the drink. He drank too much and then he got depressed, you know. Whereas some people self-medicate. Some people, you know, feel a bit down and go, ah, sure.
I reckon I got depressed because I could never get enough.
Right, that was it. Right.
It was the lack of it depressed
right,
me.
So you weren't self-medicating? No.
I got into all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So I did self-medicate, yeah. I became addicted to Valium as well.
Right.
And I did that journey, but I'm at the other end of this journey now. You know, meeting the Dalai Lama, coming in here and talking to you. No, but seriously.
Now, that's the funniest thing you said. Probably the funniest thing you've said for a long time. Put me in the same sentence as the Dalai Lama. Go on.
But I mean, it's successive days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my earlier times, I would never have been asked to do either.
Right. Okay, you know. Right. Well, geez, we're delighted to have you. There's no doubt about that. And will you sing that song for us now, Ordinary Man?
Yeah.
You will.
With pleasure. Thank you.
And this is whose song?
Hymns.
Did they give you songs or did you find them?
I was playing one night over in Cleethorpes and a guy handed me a cassette. It was the time of the cassette tapes. And when the gig was over, he handed me a cassette and this song was on it. Peter Hames from Cleethorpes
right.
wrote this song. A song from the Maggie Thatcher era. Maggie Thatcher gave us great songs. I'm an ordinary man, nothing special, nothing grand. I had to work for everything I own.
There was a time, about 12 years ago, you said you wouldn't perform. You sort of retired, did you?
There was, yeah. I stopped for almost 2 years. I lost the ability to play. It left me for a period of time, and I didn't know if I'd ever play again. But thankfully, it came back together slowly. And
when you say you lost your ability,
yeah.
Did you lose your nerve?
I think it was 1998. I had a very, very busy year, and I came back from America, and my head went awry, and I had what it was called a breakdown, which was a very frightening thing. But thankfully, I got nursed and nurtured through it.
Yeah, come out the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was small steps after that, was it, getting back into it?
Very small steps, yeah. And I wondered, one day I was at the pictures and I turned around and there was Declan Sinnott. And we got chatting. And as a result of that chat, I went into, he had a studio in Temple Bar. And I went in just to have the crack with him. And we played a few songs. And then we decided to play a few more songs. And then I decided I'd record a little album with him. And during the album, down in Kilkenny, I said, Jesus, Declan, I'd love to play a gig. And the following night, we played a gig in a small theatre, in Clear's Theatre.
Yeah.
And that was the start back again.
Right.
And I had a panic attack that night before the gig. And thankfully, I haven't had a panic attack since.
Because you suffered a heart attack as well. I know this is like your medical history.
More, more attacks. And I was also attacked by a Round Towers corner back when I was 16.
You might use a different guitar.
I have a tack of mine for the noisy ones.
Right. Christy is the most serene person I've ever heard, up Kildare. I suppose you weren't always that way.
The most what?
Serene.
Oh, God bless us, no. Well, it's nice to be described as such rather than be described as a mad whore from Kildare.
It's safe to say you've mellowed.
Ah, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 68 or 69 next month. Yeah. So you have to mellow a bit, you know.
I can't believe that. I can't believe you're that old.
Well, thank you, but I am.
I saw Billy Connolly during the week. He's 71.
Is he?
71, yeah. And he had to stop a few times. You know, he lost his train of thought.
Okay.
But he even made a joke of that, so yeah. which was brilliant.
Yeah. It's I find occasionally I get caught now with lyrics.
How many songs do you think you know?
A few hundred I could sing off the top, but I mean, in my life, I've maybe sung 1,000 songs. But sometimes now I have a little bit of trouble with lyrics. And it's weird because you can almost see it coming down the line. You're singing a song and you think you're going to make a mistake, sometimes three lines down. And when it comes, you do.
It happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And what do you do?
Ask, can anybody prompt me? And if nobody can prompt me, you can have a bit of fun about that. If you get a draw a blank, can anybody help me here?
Yeah.
Somebody might shout it out.
Yeah.
Or else,
that's the great Irish one of you. Anyway, you're going to sing. What are you going to sing for us next?
I'd love to sing a song which I've never sung before, called Arthur's Day.
Right, world exclusive. From Christy
well, I
Moore.
Wouldn't say that, no.
Yeah, well, sorry. Do we need to do anything about it before you sing it?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
I think it'll kind of... Diageo, Diageo have mounted a crusade. Creating Arthur's Day, they've suckered us into their charade.
My dad Jim has had Alzheimer's for the last 13 years and is now 69. Absolutely loved Christy Moore, and every time I hear him, it makes me both happy and sad.
Oh,
that's a nice one.
Good luck to Jim.
Yeah, and I love Christy's quote after he shared the stage with Coldplay at Oxygen when he was trending worldwide. The requests were coming in from all over USA, Australia, Canada, etc. He said, "There's talk of me going global, but I'm very happy staying local." How did that come about? How did the Coldplay thing?
The drummer in Coldplay, when he was a kid, his mother was a folkie over in England and she used to bring him to gigs.
Ah.
And he came and he heard me one night down in Southampton and he couldn't believe a fellow making so much noise with an acoustic guitar. And that's how he got into it. And then he started following me and started, when he was in Coldplay, he used to come to the gigs in London. And then out of the blue, Chris Martin rang one day and invited me to
he
sing.
He rang?
Chris Martin rang me.
It wasn't a manager or somebody, a statement.
Well, actually, Chris Martin rang Mick Devine.
Right.
And Mick Devine gave Chris my phone number.
Right.
And Chris rang me.
Personally.
That's how it came about.
Brilliant. Now, you've sang 1,000 songs in your lifetime and you have 500 off the top of your head. You're a human jukebox, aren't you?
Well, it is an obsession.
Okay, what is your favourite? And I know that's like asking what's your favourite child, but...
Well, my favourite song of all time is a song called Lord Baker. And I learnt that song from John Riley, a travelling man up in Boyle in County Roscommon. And singularly most beautiful song I've ever encountered in my life.
Right. And the song you want to finish with is The Ballad of Ruby Walsh.
Well, Pamela mentioned that there was a few requests for it.
Okay.
And I'd love to finish out on this.
Keep it Kildare. Exactly. Keep it Kildare, yeah. Right, Christy.
And thanks very much, Ray.
Oh, no, don't say thanks yet. You're not gone yet.
Oh, there under starters orders now Ted Walsh is commentating. Oh, Ruby's up in the favourite. Be God, she'll take some betting. Necks are craned and eyes are strained. Hey, Ruby, hold her back. Give her the crack and up she'll go. Right on, Ruby.
I know that, of course. I just didn't know it as the Ballad of Ruby Walsh. So, seeing as you have Arthur's Day, you have new songs. So, will there be a new album or something?
Well, there's always, what I do, there's always the next recording, you know. That's what we always are working towards, that. As soon as you're finished a record and it goes out, you forget about it and you turn your gaze to what's coming down the line.
Okay. And you're in Vicar Street one night only. That's yourself on your own.
Oh, you know, just to say about that, actually, in Vicar Street next week, I will be joined by Martin O'Connor.
Right.
And his band. I heard them last year and said, I really want to play with those guys.
Is this the... From Limerick, direction?
From Galway.
Oh, from Galway, right, yeah. Martin O'Connor. What's the name of the band? You don't know.
The Martin O'Connor band.
Right, okay. Yeah. And then you're with Declan Sinnott around the country, Ballinasloe, Dundalk, Westport Festival, Marquee in Cork. Do you have a website?
I do. I have a very active website.
And it's called?
Oh, God.
There you go. Mick. ChristyMoore.com.
If you plug in Christy Moore,
you'll find it. Yeah. Well, you're plugged in this morning. Christy, a real pleasure. Really enjoyed that. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.